we'll kind of jump right into this. My personal history or experience with essential oils really started about a year ago, and I certainly have to thank my wife for that, because prior to her getting into essential oils, I really didn't know anything about them. So I'm going to start off talking a little bit about how I got started, how I did some kind of personal experiments to get an understanding of how essential oils really worked from a health and fitness standpoint. And then we're going to actually get into talking about how they're used, a little bit about some specific essential oils that are great for everybody, regardless of their health and fitness goals. And then at the end, we're going to wrap up and talk about some of the more targeted essential oils for specific issues such as hormonal balance and digestive health and other conditions or issues that people may be facing. And then the last part of the presentation, what I want to do is just spend a little bit of time talking about how you could integrate the Young Living essential oil business into what you do every day as a personal trainer, nutrition coach, or other health and fitness practitioner. So a lot of exciting stuff to cover. We've got about 90 minutes to get that done. When we do this in a live seminar, it does take about 2.5 hours or so, and it's a lot more interactive. I'm not a huge fan of doing this from a webinar standpoint, but I wanted to get word out. I know that many of you have been reaching out asking me about learning more about essential oils. So look at this as kind of a teaser and a good way to get started. And again, if you're interested, I'm happy to hop on the phone with you after the webinar today and really talk about what it means to bring this into your business. So before I actually get into the content, I do have to do a little disclaimer, if I can get my slide to advance, which is always a interesting situation. So this information in today's class is not intended for the treatment or diagnosis of disease or a substitute for medical treatment, nor as an alternative for medical advice. To practice medicine requires a license. To educate about health does not. So just to be clear, tonight's class or tonight's seminar is for educational purposes only. So let me talk a little bit about how we got started. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, Vanessa actually was the one who got us started in essential oils. Many of you are familiar with the website that she started 4 or 5 years ago, healthylivinghowto.com. And as Vanessa had written a lot on exercise and nutrition and metabolism, she started getting curious about some other ways of improving people's health. And one of the things that sort of hit her radar at the end of 2013 was essential oils. And at the end of the year, she said, I really want to focus on essential oils in 2014. I feel like they could be a real great addition to supplements and good nutrition and exercise and lifestyle choices. And when she first brought it up, I really didn't know anything about essential oils at all. I knew that they were sometimes used in yoga and massage. I thought maybe lavender was one of the essential oils, but beyond that, I really wasn't familiar with them. So she got started at the beginning of 2014, the beginning of last year, with Young Living. And she actually started with Young Living because after spending a lot of time investigating who is the best in the essential oil world, she found that Young Living was the highest in quality and efficacy and so on. And she leaned a little bit on my background in the supplement world as well, knowing that I had always looked for the best in the world in terms of supplement manufacturers. As many of you know, I've spoken about Thorne Research or Douglas Labs, some of those other companies and things in the past. So Young Living really stood out as the best. And once she made that decision to move forward and get involved with Young Living, she just started sharing a little bit about essential oils on her blog. And the business quickly grew. In a matter of a few months, she had literally over 1,000 people enrolled in part of in her organization. And January, February, and March, I just kind of sat on the sidelines and didn't say a whole lot. I was certainly curious about what it was that she was learning and she was talking about, but I was busy doing my thing, and I was excited that she had something that she was passionate about and pursuing on her own. And she came back from a seminar in March of last year. And the seminar was with a doctor, medical doctor named Dr. Dan Purser. And this seminar was in St. Cloud, Minnesota, which is about an hour and a half away. So he spoke, I think, for 2, maybe 3 days, the whole course was 2 or 3 days. But she came back, and one of the things she said was, you know, as Dr. Purser was talking about hormones, what he has found is this essential oil, Idaho blue spruce, really supports men's testosterone levels. And as you can imagine, for a guy that's interested in health and fitness and performance and longevity, optimizing testosterone levels certainly kind of resonated with me. And she said, you know, would you mind trying Idaho blue spruce? All you have to do is put it in a capsule, 8 drops at night before you go to bed, and just try it for a few months. So I had had my blood tested just prior to this conversation. I think I'd had it done in January, so a couple months before. My testosterone levels were always in the mid 700s to mid 800s every time I had them tested in the past, which was maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 times before that. So I knew that about where my testosterone levels usually were. So I said, sure, no problem, I'll give that a try. And I did the Idaho blue spruce for 3 months. Outside of that, I really wasn't doing too much in the way of essential oils other than just what Vanessa was diffusing and using around the house. And so I had my blood tested again in June. And as you can see on the graph here on the slide, it jumped to 1089. One of the interesting things was that Dr. Purser talked about how testosterone levels will typically increase by about 30% in men when they start using Idaho blue spruce. And Idaho blue spruce is not like actually taking testosterone. What it does is help support the production of testosterone naturally. But pretty fascinating, when I did the math, it was a 29% increase in testosterone. So that was my first real experiment with essential oils, and I got to thinking, you know, wow, that's pretty fascinating. You can see that it did drop a little bit after that, because in July, I ended up moving into another experiment, which was not planned at all, kind of a little bit of an accident, but it took my attention off of blue spruce, and then you see it jump back up again because I got back into using it regularly. So in July was really where my experiment number 2 took place, and it's where I really got into understanding essential oils and believing in the value that they offer. So this situation happened on July 14th of last year. I was doing deadlifts. I was doing bent over rows, back workout, bent over rows, did a few sets of those, and then went over into deadlifts. And I had done 2 other sets with 405. It was feeling really good. I actually remember walking to the water fountain between my second and third set, thinking, gosh, you know, I could probably go even a little heavier, add another 25 on each side or something. And for whatever reason, I just said, I'll just stick with this and add a little more weight next time. Well, I got up to the top of my third rep, pulled my shoulders back with my mixed grip, and my left arm was facing forward on that set, pulled my shoulder back, and felt my bicep pull right out of my ulna. So that happened on July 14th. July 17th was when this picture was taken, and I had the bicep reattached. So it was a full distal bicep tendon rupture. But what happened was I got off the fitness floor, took a quick shower, and I called Vanessa and said, all right, let's put these oils to work and see what they can really do. I just tore my bicep, and you know, we kind of talked about the situation. So in the couple of days between Monday, July 14th, when I first tore it, and Thursday, the 17th, when I had it reattached, I did have an appointment with the surgeon, and of course I was drilling the surgeon with all kinds of questions like, you know, how quickly am I going to be back to normal? Am I going to have normal functioning in my bicep? How long does it take the average person? How long does it take an athlete in order to get back in shape? And so there were a few markers that I had in mind where I felt like if I'm doing everything right, then I should be well ahead of the game when it comes to recovery. So the surgeon kept saying, it's going to take you a year to get back to normal. So I said, okay, so in a year, I should be able to start deadlifting again in the 400s. And he said, yeah, you know, you might be able to get back to the 400s, but it's kind of hard to say. You might not get all of your strength back. I said, okay, well, that doesn't sound so good. But so he basically said a year to get back into the 400s and deadlifting. My next question was, you know, I think pull-ups are a super important part of any fitness program. So how quickly until I can start doing pull-ups? And he said, well, you're not going to be able to do any pull-ups until probably 6 months after the surgery. So I said, okay. So back in my mind, I've got a year to be able to do deadlifts at a normal strength and 6 months to be able to do pull-ups. So being competitive and not wanting to listen to, you know, the regular doctor's recommendations, I had some markers that I had in my head where I felt like if I'm doing everything that I can, then if I hit these markers, if I hit these goals, there's definitely something above and beyond normal recovery that my supplements or my essential oils are going to be affecting me in a positive way. So the three goals that I had in mind was to be able to do my first pull-up at 6 months, to be able to do 12 pull-ups at 9 to 12 months, because again, the surgeon said, you know, or that's what the surgeon said, excuse me, it was 6 months. My goal was 12 pull-ups in 12 weeks, and then to be able to do deadlifts at 6 months. So I felt like if I can hit these markers, you know, that's an average of half of the time that he's talking about. Of course, I didn't share this with my surgeon. So just to kind of show you the results of the recovery process, which I attribute to primarily two things. One is the essential oils I was using. The other is the manual therapy I was getting done at a place called Orthology here in the Twin Cities. I did do other things like some cryotherapy and some other supplements and even stem cell injections, but in my opinion, from the results that I saw and the way that I felt, the essential oils and the manual therapy were the two things that contributed most to the fast recovery. So again, the surgeon said it'd be 6 months before I could do a pull-up. So at 6 weeks after surgery, it wasn't pretty, but I did get my chin above the bar and I did a comfortable pull-up with caution. My goal was to be able to do 12 pull-ups at 12 weeks. It was actually 11 weeks. I was with a coworker in Chicago working out at Lifetime. And for the most part, other than maybe in the back of my mind having a little bit of caution, everything seemed pretty much normal. So this was my, it was actually 13 pull-ups that I ended up doing on that particular day. And then, like I said, the other goal that I had was to be able to withstand the load of a deadlift at 405, which is what I was using the day that I tore it. I felt like if I can get to 405 at 6 months on a deadlift, other than the scar and a little bit of skin issues, I'm going to be pretty much back to normal. So this was actually 3 days before my 6 month anniversary of the surgery, and I did use straps because I'm no longer using a mixed grip anymore. So I just wanted to make sure I didn't drop the bar. But I did a very comfortable three reps with 405, and I felt like everything was back to normal. So my point with that was these two things were a way for me to really test what essential oils could do on a personal level and deal with some of the same issues that as a fitness professional, if I were still training clients, I'd be able to make some good recommendations. The other thing that's not shown in the videos is the fact that I did not use any of my indomethacin, which is a really high potency anti-inflammatory, or my oxycodone, which was the painkiller I was prescribed. I only used that the day after the surgery, and then I stopped using those just because I didn't feel right about using the pharmaceutical anti-inflammatories and painkillers. So instead, we used some different essential oils internally and topically, and had virtually no pain as long as I stuck with the essential oil regimen. So that was my personal experience, and this process basically led me into January. That's the 24 weeks post-op was January 14th was when that video was shot. And it, to me, was a really good test. But in the process of vetting all of this out, I ended up digging into research. I ended up doing a lot of reading and reading a few textbooks on essential oils. And the thing that stuck out for me was, gosh, I've been missing out over the years because I haven't been aware of the power of essential oils the way that I should have. So I contemplated this, and again, this was November, December, January, my wife Vanessa and I had a lot of conversations about what the future of her business looked like and what my future with Lifetime versus being part of the business with Healthy Living How To could look like. There were these things that kept going through my mind, like, gosh, if I really got behind this in a big way, these are the four things that are most concerning to me. So one of those is that health and fitness professionals are not exposed to essential oils when you're going through college educations or personal training certifications, nutrition certifications. Registered dietitians aren't exposed to it, and it really is kind of a shame. What was also fascinating to me was as I looked back at a lot of the supplement research that I had read in the past, now knowing about essential oils, I was catching information in those studies that spoke about essential oils. I just didn't look for them in the past, so I didn't see them. So these thoughts are running through my head like, gosh, there's a huge opportunity here because fitness professionals have this audience that's very focused on optimizing their health and their fitness and recovering sometimes from injuries like mine, yet they don't know anything about it. And how cool would it be to be able to start putting some education and seminars and content together for fitness professionals? So that was one thing that kind of stuck in my head. The second was that consumers who know of essential oils don't know how to differentiate quality. And it's the same thing as with supplements. When someone just hears from a friend that they should take a good multivitamin, in their mind, good multivitamin means the one that I've heard of on television, so I'm gonna go buy a Centrum or I'm gonna go buy a one a day from Target. And any of you on the call would know that that's probably not the best option, or it's certainly not the best option. It's a huge difference between a Centrum and a one a day versus a Thorne or a Lifetime or Designs for Health multivitamins and so on. So the people who are gonna help that individual know what a good essential oil is versus a not so good one would be the fitness professionals, but they don't know what essential oils are. So there's this predicament here. Third is that there's this opportunity for fitness professionals to help their clients get a lot better results, and even the fitness professionals themselves that have their own health and fitness goals. And then the fourth thing that stood out to me is because I started understanding the business model of Young Living, I saw that there's a huge opportunity for health and fitness professionals to add to their average income, which as of 2009, the average personal trainer only earned like $42,000 a year. There's a big spread there from anywhere from $15,000 to $60,000 or $70,000. But in my opinion, health and fitness professionals are some of the most important professionals in the world because they're the most influential when it comes to helping people achieve better health. So I saw a really good opportunity here for people to keep doing the great job that they're doing, but be able to make a better income by leveraging the Young Living business model. So with that in mind, I thought, gosh, look, if I come on board with Vanessa, so as of February, I left Lifetime and I joined my wife Vanessa full time with Healthy Living How To and Healthy Living with Essential Oils. And part of what I'm focused on is helping to spread the word throughout the fitness professional community about the power of essential oils. And my hope is that as I get a chance to speak with fitness professionals and get them enrolled as part of our team, we as a group can really help to start influencing people's health in just another way beyond standard exercise, nutrition, and lifestyle modification. So, what are essential oils? Well, essential oils oftentimes are termed the lifeblood of the plant. And we have blood flowing through our veins that's got vitamins and minerals and different cells and constituents and all kinds of stuff that helps us thrive. And plants have a very similar situation. They have these fluids flowing through their branches and their stems and their leaves and the bark and, you know, all of the parts of the plant that deliver nutrition and oxygen and all of this stuff that helps the plant thrive. So essential oils include compounds that deliver oxygen, nutrients, messages to the cell. They help to remove waste from cells and then just provide other life-sustaining benefits that we will be talking about. But because there are a lot of very similar processes that happen in plants as happen in humans, if we're able to get those essential oils out of the plant, we can use them for therapeutic benefit as well. The International Organization for Standardization talks about essential oils as basically being materials that are steam distilled from the plant. So again, that's from the branches and stems and leaves and needles and petals. And it just depends on the type of oil that you're trying to acquire. But it's going to be steam distilled, or it's pressed from, as it says, the epicarp, which is really the rind of citrus fruits. So when we talk about orange and tangerine and bergamot and lemon, you're not actually taking the juice out of the lemon, or you're not actually distilling the trees. You're pressing the oils out of the rind, and that's where the therapeutic essential oils come from. But from outside of citrus oils, most of the rest of the essential oils are coming out of the actual plant itself or the tree and so on. From a definition standpoint, the other thing that's important to keep in mind is that pure therapeutic essential oils, so we're not talking about essential oils that you might find in a beauty store or at Target, or my wife actually saw essential oils at the airport. Most of those, quote, essential oils are not therapeutic grade essential oils. The reason for that is they're not distilled in a way where you can actually extract these hundreds to sometimes thousands of constituents that enhance health and support the systems of the body and so on. When I started looking into essential oils and reading textbooks, what I found was real interesting was there was a whole different language to start talking about. When we talk about essential oils and the constituents within them, we're not talking about vitamins and minerals and other phytonutrients. They have other category names like alcohols and phenols and terpenes and esters and sesquiterpenes. And this isn't something that as a fitness professional you ever need to know about. I just find it interesting because it is a little bit of a different language once you start reading research papers or you start looking at actual essential oil textbooks. You don't need to know this in order to talk to someone about the benefits of the oils, but I just bring it up because as a group of fitness professionals on this webinar, I figured you'd find that interesting that there's a little bit of a different terminology for what we're getting when we're talking about essential oils. Another interesting fact is just the number of constituents in any essential oil. So the example that I'll use here is pure peppermint. But any one of the essential oils that we're talking about have literally dozens to hundreds of different constituents. So when most people think of peppermint, or if peppermint is being manufactured in a lab, a couple of the key constituents are menthone and menthol. And with those, you kind of get the smell and the flavor of peppermint. But pure therapeutic-grade peppermint that's been distilled appropriately has 40 to 50 to 60 other constituents that all provide therapeutic benefit. So when we get into talking about essential oils and specific ones like lavender or Melaleuca alternifolia or peppermint, for example, they have a variety of different benefits. And the reason for that is any of these different constituents can act on the body in different ways. For example, peppermint can help alert you or increase energy. It can also soothe the stomach. And it's not the same constituent that's soothing the stomach as the constituents that are helping you to feel a little more alert or alive, and so on. Peppermint's also been shown to, just by simply breathing in peppermint oil, help curb appetite. So it's an appetite suppressant. And again, that's because there's some other constituents within peppermint. So again, very interesting. There's nobody in terms of average individuals that we talk to when we're teaching classes about essential oils where we're going into this level of depth. The reason I bring it up is when you're faced with someone saying, well, I bought this peppermint at the gas station. It's probably not the kind of peppermint that we're talking about here tonight. So again, just like with supplements, with essential oils, there's a variety of quality. And the quality in part is determined by what's actually in that essential oil. So the next thing we're going to go through is really how they're acquired. And I guess we have a little bit of an advantage when we're talking about Young Living, because Young Living actually owns their own farms. There's 10 farms throughout the world where the majority of oils that we offer are grown and cultivated and distilled. That's different than all of the other essential oil companies where they have to go to a broker, and the broker goes to these farms, and the farms do some cultivating and distilling, sell it to the broker, and then the broker sells it to the company that wants to sell the oils. And as you can imagine, just like in the supplement world, there's ways to kind of skirt the system and fool people into thinking that they're buying therapeutic grade essential oils when they really aren't. So that was one of the things that most intrigued Vanessa when she was looking into Young Living essential oils, was the fact that they have control over the entire process from the planting of the seed to the bottling of the product. So we'll talk briefly about each of those. So from a seed and cultivating standpoint, as I mentioned, Young Living's got 10 farms throughout the world. There's a brand new one actually in British Columbia, Canada, that they just started distilling black spruce. There's Highland Flats, Idaho, St. Marie's, Idaho, Utah, Peru, France, Israel, Oman, Taiwan, and Ecuador. Vanessa and I actually got to go to the farm in Ecuador last November. And so we got to see about 8 different plants being either grown or harvested or distilled, kind of depending on where they were in the growing process. We just came back from France about a month ago, where we got to see another farm, a Young Living farm, where they have lavender and like 4 other plants that they grow there as well. So it's pretty cool to be able to actually stand in the farm and see the process. And then basically the plants are grown, cultivated, and distilled right in the same spot. So they're picked when they're fresh, and then they're distilled appropriately to maximize their therapeutic value. In certain cases, there are some oils where we just don't have the plants on our farms. We've got partner farms that we go and audit and make sure that they follow the process that we want them to. To make sure that they are the best in the world in terms of quality. But again, for the majority of the oils that are sold through Young Living, they're going to be grown on our own farms, which is pretty cool. Next step is distillation. So when the plants are distilled, again, this is where the quality starts to differentiate from other products that are available. So Young Living, from a planting standpoint, uses minimal machinery. There's very little pollutants found around the farm. They're not near big cities or anything like that. So the quality of the material is as good as possible. So that is different. But then from a distillation standpoint, every different type of plant requires a different length of time for distillation, a different temperature, and a different pressure. Those are the 3 variables that determine whether an essential oil is going to be of therapeutic value or not. And as an example, when we were in France, we were talking about distillation with one of the educators there. And she spoke about the fact that a lot of companies will distill lavender at a higher temperature for just 30 minutes. And lavender is really well known for healing the skin. If you have a burn, you can apply therapeutic grade lavender right on the burn, and most times it doesn't amount to anything. Like within a matter of a couple hours, there's no redness. It looks like nothing ever happened. But if someone uses more commercial grade or lower quality lavender and they apply it on a burn, it could actually make it worse. The reason for that is lavender takes about an hour to distill at a very specific temperature and pressure. Well, to speed things up and make more lavender oil during the day, companies that don't care about it being therapeutic quality, the best quality available, will do it in about half the time. So their distillation process takes about 30 minutes. They do it at a higher temperature pressure. And what happens is in the first 30 minutes, the constituents in lavender are actually irritating to the skin. The second 30 minutes is when the healing properties or the healing constituents come out of the plant, and you have to wait and kind of distill it for that entire length of time in order to get the healing constituents. Otherwise, you end up with a product that's going to make skin issues worse, not better. So it's real interesting. I mean, every different type of oil has a different temperature, pressure, and length of time that it needs to be distilled. Of course, in the process, nothing should ever be added to it. When we talk about steam distillation, it should just be steam. That means the only thing that's there is water that's helping to press or push the oils out of the plant material. A lot of companies, in order to extract even more oil, will use solvents. And the trouble with that is then the solvents end up in the bottle. And solvents, many of them are organic. So you could have a product that's labeled as organic essential oil, and it'll say not for internal use. And a clue on that might be that the not for internal use might mean, well, they don't want you ingesting it because while it's classified as organic, it does have solvents, it does have stuff that you wouldn't want to be putting in your body. Matter of fact, I personally wouldn't want to be putting it even on my skin because our skin can absorb chemicals as well. So if it's not therapeutic grade quality like we're talking about here with Young Living essential oils, I wouldn't want to be putting it on my skin or ingesting it or anything like that. So again, nothing should be added to it during that distillation process. Then from there, we move on to testing. So there is no like specific testing requirement in the United States as it pertains to essential oils. So it's, you know, a lot of people will talk about the supplement industry and it not being regulated when that isn't true. It is regulated by the FDA. With essential oils, it's not. But what's interesting is that most of the Young Living essential oils are labeled as supplements because we want that extra scrutiny from the FDA, and we want to make sure that people are able to use them as a supplement when they need to, meaning they can ingest them, not just use them topically or inhale the essential oils. So in this process, again, in order to meet the expectations of the FDA as it relates to supplements, and just to make sure that what Young Living offers its customers, all of the products are tested. And again, this isn't standard, but if you're looking at some other product or brand other than Young Living, you want to make sure, just like with supplements, that there's not only their testing going on, but third-party testing as well. And the picture here that you see on the right side of your screen is Gary Young, who's the founder of Young Living. Vanessa took this picture when she was at one of the farms in Idaho this winter. They were doing the winter harvest for balsam fir. So he's out, of course, working on the farm, and he came in and did some education. And the picture that you see there is actually the testing results from one of the pine oils. And you see the up and down graph on there, and that's showing all of the constituents that are in that pine oil. And that paper actually extends well beyond what's shown in your browser window. So pretty cool stuff, but again, this is tested, and you'll see a lot number on all of the products, and the lot number goes back to the testing that was done on that specific product. And then from a labeling standpoint, again, as I mentioned, Young Living essential oils are labeled as supplements. That gives us additional oversight from the FDA. We did have a surprise audit in January and moved out of the audit with basically 100%, no issues whatsoever from the FDA. And according to some friends that I have in the supplement world, only about 2% of supplement manufacturers come out of a surprise audit by the FDA unscathed. So the fact that Young Living did, I thought was pretty awesome. Almost all of them can be used internally, but what you'll see on the labels, and again, if we were doing this as a live seminar, we'd be passing around some of the bottles so that you could actually see it. There are dilution guidelines, and I'll get into talking about that when I talk about how to use them topically. So in certain cases, they should be diluted. One other thing that comes up, especially from fitness professionals, because from a nutrition and exercise standpoint, you're probably very familiar with talking about vegetable oils or fatty oils, and sometimes people start to, in their mind, think about essential oils and fatty oils as the same thing, and they're really not. There are some very significant differences between the two. So at the core of it, vegetable oils come out of the seed, and what they're really intended for is to get that plant growing and germinating and basically get its life started. The fatty oils are not used for the everyday life of the plant. Instead, those oils are kind of stored for use by, could be other animals that will help them spread to the plant, or of course we use them in cooking as well. Of course, most of you are going to be using very limited vegetable oils when you're thinking of soy and corn and those types of oils, but certainly almond oils and olive oils, avocado oils, those are similar oils that we're talking about here, where they are used for the germination and the initial stages of life, but they're not used for the everyday life and supporting that plant. In addition to just the difference between what they're used for in the plant, essential oils are tiny, tiny molecules. They're so small that they can penetrate the skin. They're actually small enough to pass the blood-brain barrier. Whereas fatty oils, you could have put it on your skin and it's just going to stay on top of your skin. Of course, we can use them for some calories as a way to help increase our nutritional intake, but they're not tiny oils that are able to penetrate cell walls, cell membranes, the skin, the nasal cavity, and so on. A couple other things that are of interest is that essential oils are not greasy. So if you do have, if you bought essential oils in the past from the store and you put it on your finger and it feels greasy, essential oils should never be greasy. We do have a couple of blends that have some added oil for them because oftentimes they're used topically. It might be like fractionated coconut oil, or we have one called Endoflex that I use for thyroid health. That's got sesame oil in there to help with the absorption of that blend. But for the most part, pure essential oils themselves are not greasy at all. If you drip them on your clothes, they won't leave a stain except for just a couple of them that have a color to them. And because they're not greasy and there's not anything in there that could, like in terms of proteins and fats, that could go bad, pure therapeutic essential oils don't expire either. So if you leave the top off of your bottle of oil, it will evaporate because they're volatile, and eventually the bottle will just be empty. But they don't go bad. The only thing that can really hurt them is exposing them to high levels of heat or sunlight. So outside of that, they'll basically last forever. And in teaching classes, we've actually spoken with people who found their Young Living essential oils that they had purchased like 10 years ago. And it's cool because they can pull that box out, and assuming the bottles are closed and they haven't been exposed to heat, they're totally fine, just like the day that they got them. The last piece of it is that in the literature, so in research, essential oils are often described as antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal, antiparasitic, and antiseptic. We don't talk about them that way when we're doing an educational class for consumers. We don't use those terms when we are putting something online or if I'm writing an article. And the reason for that is those terms are often considered drug claims. But we can talk about how essential oils can digest bacteria and viruses and fungus and parasites and so on. Of course, fatty oils, vegetable oils don't do that. So those are some of the big differences between the two of them. So how do they work? What do they do in terms of our own therapeutic benefit? They carry oxygen to cells and waste products away from cells. So interestingly, there's a group of constituents called sesquiterpenes. Sesquiterpenes are found in oils like cedarwood and lavender and sandalwood. Sesquiterpenes have been shown to increase the oxygenation in the brain by up to 28%. So kind of an interesting statistic, and a lot of times when people start inhaling those, they feel kind of a mental clarity pretty fast, you know, within a matter of minutes. They've been shown to cleanse cell receptor sites, chelate heavy metals and other toxins, enhance the ability to absorb vitamins and other nutrients. And then they can act as neurotransmitters, peptides, steroids, hormones, enzymes, vitamins, other message-carrying molecules. They've been shown to purify the blood and digest, as I mentioned, bacteria, funguses, viruses, and other pathogens, and then even increase the frequency of the body's cells. So if you understand what frequency is all about, essential oils have some of the highest frequencies of any natural products in the world. So those are just some of the things that they do. We'll talk about a little bit more from one oil to the next, what those benefits look like. But the one other thing that really struck me, and again, I hope that you kind of, this sticks in the back of your mind as a health and fitness professional, is the fact that essential oils can have a profound effect on people's emotions. And as we all know, emotions can directly affect someone's physical health. It can affect their hormone production, it can affect stress hormones, and it can affect libido, it can affect energy levels, it can affect their ability to recover. Emotions have such a significant effect, but when we talk about supplements, we don't normally talk about emotions. When we talk about exercise, we certainly don't talk about emotions. We could talk about emotions as it relates to some lifestyle things, like, hey, if this thing makes you feel bad, stop doing it. But essential oils have been shown to quickly and effectively improve mood and just positively affect people's emotions. What's so cool about that to me is that whether someone starts making good nutrition choices, or their first step is using a supplement, or their first step is using an essential oil, if that first step can help them get to the next step faster, then by all means, they should be doing that thing. And I think in my experience as a fitness professional and nutrition coach, one of the biggest stumbling blocks people would run into is throughout the day, they would be under stress and then they'd eat because of stress. Or they'd be depressed, they'd be down, they'd be home alone, and they'd be in an environment where they just felt bad about themselves or what was going on in their life. And because of that, they made poor choices. They stayed up too late watching a show, or they skipped their workout. And if we can quickly and positively affect people's emotions, then hopefully they will make a better choice when it comes to what they're going to eat. If they feel like they've got more energy, there's a better chance that they're going to go on exercise. If they can calm their mind at night, there's a better chance that they'll just go to bed instead of zoning out in front of the TV for two extra hours. So this was one of the coolest things as I really learned more and more about essential oils to me that I thought was such a benefit for nutrition coaches, for personal trainers, for dietitians, because we all know that if people's heads aren't in the right spot, if their emotions are keeping them from feeling good, there's little that we're going to be able to do to convince them to make the right decision. So super cool thing about essential oils. So let's talk about how they're applied. There's three primary applications that we're going to talk about tonight. One is inhalation, second is topical use, and third is ingestion. So from the application of inhalation, one of the things that, again, if we were in a seminar, live seminar together, what I'd pass around is a bottle of peppermint here. And you'd all get a chance to take the bottle off and put a drop of peppermint in the palm of your hand, just one drop. And what you do is just rub your hands together. I do this before most of my workouts. Rub my hands together, cut my hands over my face, and just inhale. And what happens is that peppermint that's in the palm of my hand, again, that those oils are volatile. They're not just sitting on the palm of my hand. They're spreading out into the air. So as I inhale, I'm bringing those essential oils into my nasal cavity and into my lungs. And because they're so small, they can quickly pass right from the nasal cavity into the bloodstream and right over to the brain. And so going back to emotions, that previous slide, one of the key benefits for inhalation is positively affecting people's mood or emotions or energy levels. And the reason that essential oils, when you inhale them, are so effective to do that is it's a really short path from your nose to your brain. And within a matter of minutes, people may sometimes feel more calm. They may feel a little bit more energized. They may feel just better in general. And again, it depends on which oil they're using, what they're going to be feeling. So that's just a very basic inhalation. Put a drop in the palm of your hand, breathe it in. Some women will wear diffuser necklaces. Like my wife's got a diffuser necklace. She just puts a drop of essential oil in there and breathes it in. Of course, the other that everybody always gets with their kit would be a diffuser. So you can probably see in the video here to my left, probably your right, but this is one of the diffusers that's, I've got peppermint and another blend from Young Living diffusing here behind me. But the idea with a diffuser, especially the diffusers that we're using, which are ultrasonic diffusers, is there's a metal plate that vibrates at thousands and thousands of times per second, and that vibration helps to dissipate the essential oils into the air. So they're already small to begin with, but a good quality cold air diffuser will help to spread them into the air. And even if I were to turn this off, those essential oils would be in the air for the, probably the next couple of hours, delivering therapeutic benefit to anyone who would walk in and inhale them. So the picture there is obviously a picture of the brain. The key thing to take away here is when we inhale essential oils, what we're really doing is trying to get those oils into the limbic system, because the limbic system is the center of emotions. And from there, the limbic system can act on the hypothalamus, it can act on a number of other parts of the brain and the nervous system, which can then affect other hormones throughout the body. So as an example, we will often diffuse lavender by itself or lavender with something else at night when we go to sleep. And as we're inhaling the lavender, it's stimulating the limbic system, and it's been shown to help with melatonin production. So melatonin, of course, as everybody should know, is the key to getting a good night's sleep. And when melatonin levels go up and we actually go to sleep, we should achieve better deep sleep. The more deep sleep that we get, first third of the night, the better growth hormone production we have and the better we recover from exercise and so on. So that's the idea with inhalation. The next way of applying oils, of course, is topically. So from a topical standpoint, they can be applied right on an affected area. I talked about at the beginning the fact that I had torn my bicep. And for the first 2 weeks that I, after surgery, my left arm was in a cast. So obviously we couldn't put any oils on it because the cast stopped at the top of my arm here and went all the way down to my hand. But with my wife's trainer's recommendation, he said, well, just apply the oils topically on the other side of the arm. It was pretty fascinating because within a matter of minutes, I could feel relief on my left arm. And, you know, just like with exercise, oftentimes if one limb is immobile, you can train the other and it'll help with retaining some of that lean body mass. There's some crossover even when it comes to the use of essential oils like that. So that was pretty cool to feel. I had put some peppermint just a couple minutes ago on my hand, and then you might have seen me rubbing my neck. I was just basically applying that essential oil to my neck, and I can feel kind of a cooling sensation from the peppermint on my neck right now. You can apply essential oils over targeted areas or organs. I mentioned Endoflex. I'll talk about that right at the end, but I apply that right over my thyroid. It can also be applied over the adrenals to support adrenal health. A lot of people will apply oils to the bottoms of their feet. Bottoms of their feet are very porous, so oils get absorbed real quickly. And then other body parts like chakras and vitaflex points and those kinds of things can be beneficial as well. So we actually, for anyone who enrolls with the Premium Starter Kit, we send them as a gift this 442-page textbook on oil usage. And in here, there's where you can apply, like on your hands or on your feet, to affect other organs as well. It's called your Vitaflex points. And then the third, of course, is to ingest oils. So just to be very clear, when we're talking about the ingestion of oils, we're talking about Young Living's essential oils. We actually live right above Whole Foods. We're on the seventh floor of an apartment building in Minneapolis, and Whole Foods is down on the first floor. And I'll walk by the essential oils area once in a while, and those are not the kinds of oils that I would be ingesting because, number one, they're not labeled as supplements. Number two is we don't know what kind of distillation process that they've gone through. They're labeled as organic, but once again, you can have solvents in a product and have it still be considered organic because the solvents are sometimes organic. So if we're talking about ingestion, we're talking about oils that we know you can ingest, I'm specifically talking to you about the Young Living. I'm not talking about other brands that are on the market. So when we talk about ingestion, it could be something as simple as putting some citrus oils in a stainless steel or a glass water bottle. We always use glass or stainless steel because especially when you're using citrus oils, the citrus oils can break down the plastics because of the delimonene in them. They break down petrochemicals and other chemicals. You certainly don't want to be breaking that down and then drinking it because you're using a plastic water bottle. So always use stainless steel or glass. And then, of course, you could even just get some capsules. And this is how I used, like I mentioned, Idaho Blue Spruce at the beginning. There's another blend that I use called Digize, which is great for digestion. But we can just simply get some capsules, take them apart, drop the oil in there, and then ingest them as well. So super simple. But when we're talking about ingestion of oils, that's really beneficial if you're looking for a systemic effect. So there's a mix of three oils that's nicknamed the morphine bomb. It's frankincense, Idaho balsam fir, and copaiba. Those three is what I took in place of the painkillers and anti-inflammatories after my surgery, and got great relief and managed the inflammation really well. The surgeon was shocked by how well his anti-inflammatory drug was working when I went in for my two-week checkup because I didn't tell him that I was using essential oils instead of the drugs that he had prescribed for me. So anyway, that was pretty cool to see. But those are the two ways you would normally ingest. And in terms of application, again, we're talking about ingestion, topical use, and inhalation. So having said all that, I realize that I have the typo at the top. I shouldn't have the apostrophe in there for schools. My bad on that. But if you start searching the internet, just like if you start searching the internet about supplements, you're going to get a huge range in recommendations, and there's some stupid stuff said about supplements, and there's some stupid stuff said about essential oils as well. But there's also just some differences in the way that use of essential oils is taught. And essential oils, from a therapeutic standpoint, really came out of France back in the 1920s, 1930s, 1940s. That's where the use of essential oils for therapeutic benefit came from. Well, after that, there were some other schools that sort of stemmed out of the French method in Germany and in Great Britain. So when we were in France, it was not a big deal to talk to people about the use of essential oils in terms of ingesting them, using them topically, inhaling them, and so on. Germany focuses a little bit more on the inhalation of essential oils and especially their effect on emotions. In Great Britain, they predominantly just use them topically and heavily diluted. I'll talk about that in a second because I forgot to mention it on topical use. So part of the problem here in the United States and Great Britain and much of the world, again, is that as essential oils have gotten popular, the quality of the oils has gone down because to the average consumer, if they're in the store and they read my recent blog post about peppermint and its benefits for fitness and its other health benefits or the fact that it supports weight management, they may just go buy a standard store-bought peppermint. And that's not the same as the therapeutic peppermint that we're talking about right here. So with that in mind, the methods from Great Britain focus really just on topical use because the quality of the oils in Great Britain and the United States and a lot of the world outside of France just aren't the kind of quality that it is in France. So if you're searching the internet, keep in mind that what we are talking about here, what's talked about in your essential oils pocket reference that I'll send you, you know, when you sign up with a premium starter kit, we're talking about the French method because these are therapeutic grade, high quality essential oils. So the next thing that I'm going to do is kind of run through what we talk about as everyday oils. When we're talking about the use of essential oils, this isn't like supplements where somebody says, well, I've got this digestive issue, so I'm going to go and use these probiotics or HCL or a prebiotic, or I've got just this one thing and I'm going to go use this one supplement. We look at essential oils as a lifestyle, and just as I would never recommend people using a bunch of other supplements unless they're using a multi and fish oil first, because those build the foundation to good nutrition, the everyday oils that I'm going to talk about really build the foundation from a therapeutic benefit as it pertains to essential oils. And then after that, I'm going to briefly talk about some of the other more targeted essential oils that are available. So moving on, I guess I already mentioned this about the importance of looking at this as a foundation, and these 10 covering a lot of needs. So the first one I'm going to talk about is lavender. So lavender is probably the most well-known essential oil in the world. It's also the most adulterated. So once again, when you're out just looking around and shopping and you see essential oils and you see lavender, know that most of the lavender that's sold is adulterated, or it's at least not distilled in the therapeutic way that we were talking about. Once you start using a lot of essential oils, you'll notice a pretty big difference in the fragrance of them as well. So I know what this lavender smells like. And if I go down to Whole Foods, and I've done this before and smelled the other lavenders that are sold there, it's a very different odor because it's not the same constituents. It's not the therapeutic constituents found in this one. So lavender supports normal blood pressure and cholesterol levels. It's useful for skin conditions and burns, like I mentioned before. It's a natural antihistamine. Improves concentration and mental acuity. And then the cool thing, this was actually a study that just came out a couple of weeks ago that I came across, because I've got a weekly updates from PubMed, was that the aroma of lavender increases feelings of trust with others. And what was interesting in this particular study was it talked about how if an individual smells of lavender and is in a negotiation or is in a sales sort of situation, the people that smell that individual will be more likely to trust him or her. They'll be more likely to invest in the services or spend more money and so on. So, you know, just put in the back of your mind as a health and fitness professional, when you're doing consultations with people, you want them to trust you. And you want them to invest in your services because obviously the more they invest in your services, the better the results they're going to get. So this would be a great one on the days when you're doing a lot of consultations to wear as a fragrance to increase the feelings of trust with the people that you're meeting with. The next one is tea tree oil, and I use that image specifically. There's a lot worse images of bad feet and nasty skin conditions on the internet. I kept it kind of PG, but I did want this to stand out in your head that tea tree oil is really great for skin issues. It's been shown to, again, digest bacteria, funguses, viruses, and other pathogens. It's great for acne. But every month or two, I'll end up getting a little bit of a pimple. I actually just got one. Today I woke up with one, so I've put tea tree oil or Melaleuca alternifolia, which is its botanical name, on my face a couple times already today, and it usually takes about a day or so, and I've noticed for me that the acne disappears pretty fast. It's also great for dry scalp and psoriasis or other skin issues. And then again, speaking to health and fitness professionals, you are going to have clients once in a while that walk on a dirty gym floor, or a client that gets a pedicure and ends up with an infection. So this is a great one to apply in the specific to those issues. Lemon is third. Lemon is great for cleansing the skin and helping to reduce wrinkles and acne, something, again, that clients may mention, and you're not normally thinking of solutions when you're working with them on an exercise or nutrition program, but again, you can help solve some of their other issues that they may be dealing with. Inhalation of lemon and many other citrus oils helps to boost mood. It acts as a natural goo gun, so if you've got something sticky or crayons or any kind of gunk on the floor or on clothes, it helps to get rid of that. So it's just a really useful oil to have around. And then it also helps support the body's natural detoxification process. So all of the citrus oils are high in D-limonene. And if you're familiar with D-limonene, it's one of the body's most important detoxification constituents. So when you add D-limonene, it helps with the detoxification process. It's a great one to just throw in a water bottle. So I would start with like a drop or two per liter, or like this is, I think a 750 milliliters, so 3/4 of a liter. So on a bottle this size, with someone who's just getting started, I would just use like a drop or two a couple times per day. As you get accustomed to them, you could increase the amount of essential oils that you're using. Like I'll put in 4 to 6 drops just because I like the flavor better. But I've also had people that have done that before and they end up getting a headache because, number one, they're either not drinking enough water in general, and essential oils cause you to excrete a little bit more water, which is beneficial as well. Number two, because they speed up the detoxification process, if someone's not drinking enough water or they're using too much oils all at once, they may end up feeling a little bit sluggish or get that headache. The next oil is frankincense. Again, this one that gets talked about often when it comes to the Bible and Christmas stories, and it's also a very adulterated essential oil. As it says, for every pound of frankincense that's sold, that's distilled in the world, there's 12 pounds that are sold. So that means that the actual frankincense that's sold in retail bottles is often diluted with other oils, or there's other constituents in there that really aren't frankincense, or other oils or materials to make it look like a full bottle of frankincense when it's not. So again, lots of adulteration there. The frankincense, copaiba, and myrrh are actually distilled from the resin of the tree. And this is one of the cool things, again, as I was learning about oils, I was pretty fascinated about, is frankincense is something that I've applied on my scar regularly because it helps with reducing scar tissue. Well, when they go and get frankincense, the way that they get it is they'll cut the tree, and the tree basically bleeds out this resin. And the resin is there to kind of help heal the tree and recover the wound. So rather than distilling the tree with frankincense, what we do is we distill the resin. We distill that healing stuff that comes out of the tree to get those constituents. And what's so fascinating about it is just as it heals the cuts in the trees, it's been shown to heal the body as well, even cuts in the skin or scar tissue and so on. So it's really an all-purpose healing oil. It can also support normal growth hormone levels. So this is another one that sometimes distill at night. Diffuse at night. And then it helps to reduce stretch marks and scar tissue as well. So again, as a fitness professional, health professional, these are some topics that you are probably coming up with clients on a regular basis. Peppermint, as I mentioned earlier, it soothes the digestive system, especially if somebody's got like a little bit of a stomach ache or something. It also tends to cool the body. So by just adding one drop of peppermint in a bottle of water, it can help with keeping it cool during a hot day, especially if you're physically active outside. It enhances physical performance. So again, if you go to healthylivinghowto.com, I just wrote an article on peppermint and talked about a lot of the exercise-related benefits, performance benefits in terms of improving grip strength, improving vertical jump, broad jump, quarter-mile time, mental acuity, agility, and so on. Inhaling peppermint has been shown to reduce appetite and lead to weight loss. So there's one really compelling study where one group didn't do anything and one group just was told to smell peppermint throughout the day. And those people in the group that smelled the peppermint and actually had functioning nasal functions, like their ability to smell was normal, those people lost an average of 4 pounds of body weight per month for 6 months. So it was 24 pounds of weight loss on a regular basis. And all they did, no change in diet, no recommendations for exercise, was just smell peppermint. It improves mental acuity and memory. And then the topical application is really relaxing, and it can feel cooling. To some people, it feels hot. Some people, it might feel a little bit too hot, and that's why you'd want to dilute it with the carrier oil. Just use like a drop of peppermint, maybe one drop to three drops of coconut oil or avocado oil, or Young Living has a blend called V6. Joy is the first of the blends. So those first five were single oils. The next five we're going to talk about are blends of many oils in the same bottle. So Joy is actually 10 different oils. Joy has been shown to support normal blood pressure levels. In women, it can help with managing PMS. In women, it's also can be helpful with libido. And one of the main oils in Joy is bergamot, which is a natural source of synephrine or bitter orange. It's also actually, again, talking about studies that just came out about 2 or 3 weeks ago, there was a study that came out on bergamot. And what they had women do was, I think it was about 70 women aged 20 to 24, and they just smelled peppermint, and then they had their salivary cortisol levels measured, and their cortisol levels dropped significantly just by inhaling the bergamot. So that's part of Joy. I actually apply Joy over my heart, one or two drops every day after I take a shower. To me, I personally noticed a difference in mood from that. People really like the smell of Joy, or sometimes they don't like it so much because it's a very floral oil. If they don't like the smell of it, but they want the benefits, they can always apply it to the bottoms of their feet and get it absorbed that way. Thieves is, again, a super popular oil blend that Yum Living offers. It's based on a formula where some thieves in Marseille, France, or Marseille, basically used these four different spices to cover their bodies, and then they went and robbed graves during the Black Plague. Sounds kind of gory, but what was fascinating about it was they didn't get the Black Plague, but they did get caught, and the king, in exchange for a little more lenient sentence, made them give up their formula that they had. So this thieves blend is based on that formula, and it has been shown in clinical studies to significantly reduce or eliminate bacteria and viruses and fungus and stuff in the air. So it's one of the most valuable blends for fitness enthusiasts, because in my mind, if you can have clients using these, especially during the season when everyone else is getting sick, and keep them from getting sick, you know, if people are missing an average of 2 weeks per year due to illness, it's not just the 2 weeks, it's the time afterwards to just get back to where they were before they got sick. That's a lot of time missed out on training sessions, and it's also a lot in the way of lost performance and ability to progress. So even though we don't think about keeping people from getting sick as a performance benefit, in my mind, the less sick people are, the more often they can train, and the better results they're going to see. Purification is another great one. It's awesome for cleansing the air. If you like, as many of the trainers that I know love making bacon and eggs for breakfast, especially if they're doing a low-carb diet, but that bacon just hangs in the air. This is a good one to diffuse to get odors like that out of the air quickly. It's also great for gym bags or for workout shoes, any stinky office even, stinky locker, anything that's got kind of an odor from sports or being outside or equipment or whatever. It's also a really great one for applying if you're going hiking and using it as a natural bug repellent. One of the oils in there is citronella, and as a blend in purification, it's a really powerful bug repellent. You can even take a diffuser out on your deck and use that as a way to keep bugs away if you just want to sit and be bug free on a midsummer night. Stress Away is, again, as you can imagine, one of the most popular blends that Yum Living has. You can figure out what that one is for, but it's a blend of copaiba, lime, cedarwood, vanilla, acatia, and lavender. A A lot of people I've found will wear this as a perfume or a cologne. So men and women wear this, and they'll just, especially if they have a stressful job, they'll wear it throughout the day. They'll sometimes apply it off and on throughout the day if they're going into something a little more stressful. Anyway, super awesome blend. And then the 10th one is Panaway. So Panaway is something that I used regularly topically after my biceps reattachment. I still do use it periodically if I've got some muscle soreness from a workout, if I've got a joint that I kind of turned the wrong way and it's achy or inflamed. My mom loves this one. She puts it on her hands because she's got severe arthritis. So she'll put this in her hands and some coconut oil and then just rub them together as a way to relieve the stiffness and the pain from her arthritis. So Panaway is just awesome, but it's a blend of wintergreen, helichrysum, clove, and peppermint. So not only does it help with soothing sore joints or muscles, the helichrysum has actually been shown to help in the regeneration of damaged tissues as well. So as I mentioned, this is the premium starter kit component. So there's a diffuser and the 10 everyday oils. We also throw in another oil called Citrus Fresh, which is a blend of oils. So if you, after the call, decide, hey, I'd like to get started, this is what we always recommend people start with at a minimum. It's like $300 worth of essential oils, and it's $150 for the starter kit. If you decide to do this as a business and integrate it with your clients, again, this is what we always have clients start with, and then we'll add other targeted oils on top as needed. As an example, from a hormonal balance standpoint, there are more oils in this, but I just call out five of them on this slide. Endoflex is a blend of oils that helps to support the endocrine system and thyroid. So again, personally, because I had chemotherapy when I was 5 for leukemia, I assume that that's why my thyroid isn't as functional as it should be. It's always been a little bit low, so I apply that over my thyroid. People are dealing with some adrenal issues, adrenal fatigue, and so on. They can apply it on their back or above at the top of their kidneys, which is where your adrenal glands are, for adrenal support. Idaho balsam fir helps with the modulation of cortisol. It's also been shown to help with supporting normal growth hormone levels. This is one that I use in a capsule on a daily basis to support growth hormone. And just like with Idaho blue spruce and testosterone, my growth hormone levels are really the highest that they've ever been. Not super physiological levels, but they're at the higher end of normal. And my doctor's always impressed when I get my lab work done. Progestins Plus is specific to women, so this is more of a female sex hormone balancing blend of oils, and then Chutran is the one for the guys. So that actually has Idaho blue spruce in it, and then a number of other oils. So I'll use that one on my forearms, put 4 drops morning and night, scrub my forearms together. My wife does the same thing with Progestins Plus for females. And then Idaho blue spruce, which is what really got me into this thing to begin with, can be used in a capsule, 8 drops at night before bed, and that's a great way to support testosterone levels as well. There's also a number of oils that support stress and sleep, something that as health and fitness professionals you're probably talking about on a very regular basis. The effects that these have vary by person, and that's going to be a little bit the case with all of the oils because everyone's individuals and they have different physiologies. Their effects will be a little bit different from person to person. We've also got a list of oils that are great for supporting weight loss, if that's what a client is focused on. Those that are a little bit melancholy or just don't have as much energy or motivation to exercise throughout the day may find benefit from the oils and blends that are listed there as well. And then, of course, digestion. Digize is one of my favorites. I have been a huge advocate of using HCL, especially as people age, because your acid levels in your stomach your stomach doesn't produce as much acid as you age, which makes protein digestion difficult. I've been a huge proponent of probiotics, but with using those over the years, I just have not noticed a significant difference in my digestion. I always had a little bit of a distension in my stomach when I would eat, And when I started using Digize, it was amazing. Within like 2 days, Vanessa said to me, "Your stomach's flatter than it's ever been." So it was pretty cool, and makes meals feel a lot better, even if I have a really high protein meal, 16-ounce steak or something like that once in a while. There's also four what we call bombs. These are just mixes of different oils that can be used for specific reasons. And, you know, again, if you decide, hey, this is something I really want to get into, we've got a lot of resources for you, and you'll be able to access these recipes for the different oil blends. So I'm not going to take the time to go into these, but the morphine bomb was what I was using, again, for the 3 months after my surgery, instead of using oxycodone and indomethacin as painkillers and anti-inflammatories. So there's the cold and flu bomb and the allergy bomb, and there's even a hangover bomb for those clients of yours that just can't give up their drinking on Friday or Saturday night, but you want them to feel better so they can actually work out on Saturday morning. You can even recommend the hangover bomb for them. So I'm going to take like 5 minutes and talk about integrating this into your health and fitness business, because I really feel, as I mentioned before, there's tremendous opportunity as a fitness professional. If you're on this call, you know, I'm flying through a bunch of information, and I have no doubt that some of it you might be like, gosh, how am I going to remember this? But you're able to comprehend a lot of what I'm talking about from a, hey, this could work for stress and sleep, and there's some people need hormonal balance, and you understand the fact that emotions affect people's ability to make good decisions and to exercise, and it affects their hormones and so on. Your level of knowledge is great for something like this, where this is a little bit of a new realm in the health and fitness world, and you're going to be able to grasp it quickly. And then what you can do is take this information that sometimes is a little bit technical, like I don't go anywhere near the depth of technical terms that I'm talking about here tonight when I'm teaching an essential oils 101 class, which is what we do most of our time. We're just talking to everyday people who want to get healthier. You're able to take this information and simplify it for your clients, knowing that they don't need all of the information in order to get results. They just need to do what you recommend, and they're going to feel better, and that's really what the goal is. The other thing that's cool to me about this is that as a health and fitness professional, you influence way more people than what you see on a daily basis. So if you're training a client one-on-one, let's say it's a stay-at-home mom, that stay-at-home mom is going home and cooking differently for the whole family. If she's cooking, she is going to make recommendations to her husband based on the recommendations that you're making with her. And what happens is, as you work with people one-on-one, your influence goes way beyond those people that you see just face-to-face. The cool thing with Young Living, to me, is the fact that because it's a network marketing model, you're able to say, these essential oils are beneficial for you, and here's why. And if your clients happen to tell their friends about the great results that they're getting, and their friends want to get started, your client can do that, and you reap the reward from that as well. You get some benefit. So as a health and fitness professional who influences way more people than you see every day, the exciting thing to me was the fact that, hey, this would be a great way for fitness professionals to continue to get paid for the amount of influence that they have well beyond the people they see all the time. So what I would do, again, if I were still training clients, if I were seeing people one-on-one and training clients and in a club or in a clinic or what have you, is I would be doing seminars every week. I'd be doing simplified seminars, not like we're talking about here, but seminars that take about an hour and a half for everyday people. And there's two reasons I would do that. One is I would want my clients to understand the benefits of essential oils and how they can apply in their health and fitness program. But I'd also want my client who has a friend to be able to share that with their friend. And I don't want my client to have to do that. I would want my client to bring their friend into one of my seminars. And in doing so, they may end up getting started with essential oils, but they may say, wow, that Tom guy that you had me come and talk to in that seminar, he's pretty smart. I think I should train with him. And I look at this as a new thing that people are interested in, essential oils, and you can deliver seminars every week. And you know, if you decide to enroll and you're part of our team, you know, we're going to give you the seminar materials that you need and the ability to do that and all the coaching and everything. But what's cool about it is not only might you get some additional people to use essential oils, I think it's a great way to attract new clients for your business as well. So again, if there's this seminar, somebody sits in the seminar, then the next time they bring a friend to your seminar, a really great networking opportunity for you to build your business. I also look at the fact that when it comes to Young Living versus doing, you know, just another, like in the supplement world, when it comes to just nutritional supplements, there isn't a brand that owns the entire process from the planting of a seed or the manufacturing of an ingredient all the way to the making of the product. And because of that, a lot of the supplements from a network marketing standpoint are mediocre in the supplement world. So this is different because with Young Living owns the entire process. So you've got the best essential oils in the world. You've got the opportunity to get way better client results. The opportunity to also help a client build a business. Like what would happen is if you're teaching a seminar, some clients may say, well, could I go and teach a class myself? And you can help them teach a class, and then eventually they're teaching them on their own, and you're not only helping a client get healthier, but some of them might decide they want to do it as a job and make some great income that way. You can leverage the classes, as I mentioned, to attract potential clients. And then there, from a compensation standpoint, you know, if we get into talking about that, it is one of the best compensation plans in this industry. So real quick, there's a couple ways to get enrolled. You're going to receive an email probably an hour after the seminar is finished up. You already got one that made some mention of going to healthylivingwithessentialoils.com or HLWEO.com. And the enrollment information and some more information about the Premium Starter Kit is on there. Vanessa's got a couple of videos as well that she talks through some of the things that I've already said. When you decide to enroll, you have the opportunity to become a retail customer and pay full retail price or a wholesale customer. I think it's silly for anybody to become a retail customer, including the clients that you may have. It's always best to do the wholesale route because there's a 24% savings. You get like a 50% savings on the Premium Starter Kit when you initially enroll, but then 24% off of all future orders. There's a great customer loyalty program called Essential Rewards. And then, of course, as a wholesale member, you automatically have the opportunity to earn an income if other people decide that they would like to share the oils and build businesses that you're enrolling as well. We do have a lot of support for you. So this is something that I'm very passionate about. I'm very passionate about helping health and fitness professionals not only get better client results, but make a great income in this health and fitness world. I truly, from the bottom of my heart, believe that health and fitness professionals are some of the most important health advocates and influential people in the world. So with that in mind, we've got a Healthy Living with Essential Oils Facebook group. It's about 4,000 people. This is a secret group, so only people that are enrolled through us or through people that have enrolled through us get access to. So we've got around 8,000 people in our organization in total. We've got about 4,000 that are active in that group. But again, it's just secret. You can't even find it on Facebook unless you get enrolled, then we'll get you invited to it. We also have a specific business group with about 300 people that are actively pursuing the Young Living business. In addition to that group for support, we've got a four-week training program that Vanessa and I designed. It was one of the first projects that we got going on once I left Lifetime. As I mentioned, if you enroll with the Premium Starter Kit, we will send you this very thick 442-page manual of using essential oils. Many of the benefits on the oils that I mentioned earlier are in here, and there's a lot that I don't have the time to cover. But if you wanted to look up a specific condition like blisters, food poisoning, digestive problems like constipation or cramps, these issues are all in here, and then you can identify what oils would be most beneficial. We also offer weekly business calls every Sunday night at 7 o'clock Central. We do a business webinar and go over some best practices. And then we have lunch and learns on Tuesdays. These are great. Like if you were to do this as a business and you wanted to get your clients engaged, they can just sit in for a half hour over their lunch hour, or watch a recording of it and just get 30 minutes of education and inspiration about using the oils themselves. So that's what the Lunch and Learns are all about. If you decide to get started, this is what we recommend. It's kind of our five-step fast start. What we found is that the faster we can get people started, the more successful they're going to be with the business, but the more successful they are with actually getting results from the essential oils as well. So the first step, of course, enroll in the Premium Starter Kit. If you want to add one to three other oils, you can. If you want to connect with me, you have my email address, and we can talk about some other things that you could be doing. But I'd really like to talk with you if you say, hey, this is something I want to do, and I'd like to build a business out of it. We can do some coaching over the phone. If you feel like this is something that you really want to grab a hold of, maybe we even do a live seminar, and Vanessa and I can fly out, or I can fly out, and we can do something live as well in your area. The next thing we recommend is if you have the opportunity to bring somebody to a class, like if you're local or if we wanted to do some kind of a class in your area, is to bring a couple people to that. We may even be able to do a separate webinar just for some people that you know that you'd like to get introduced to essential oils. Of course, begin using them as soon as possible. If you do regular shipping, they should arrive in about 10 to 14 days. When you enroll, you can choose the shipping method, and if you want them in 2 days, you could get them in 2 days. Maybe they could be there by Saturday or Monday at the fastest. Enrolling in Essentials for Success is super critical. Again, that's our four-week training program where we're going to help you get your business going, and then, of course, teaching classes or seminars is the way to do that. So these are some upcoming live seminars that we have. I mentioned these at the beginning. I want to mention them again. And please reach out with questions after this webinar if you'd like. I'll set up a call with you. I do recommend you just go ahead and follow the links and get enrolled with the Premium Starter Kit, and then we can get into some of the supporting groups that we have. But the current schedule of live seminars coming up is Lakeville, Minnesota, May 9th. We're going to do another one just because we had such a great turnout here the first time we did a seminar. Fort Worth, Texas is Friday, May 15th. That'll be an evening class. And then Friday, June 19th, also an evening. I think that one starts at 6 o'clock in Houston. And, you know, I am looking at potentially Denver, Phoenix, Los Angeles, maybe Chicago, maybe Detroit, but again, some of that will be based on some of the feedback that I might get from some of you on this call as well. So as you can tell, I'm very excited about the potential for essential oils in the fitness professional world. I am a personal trainer and nutrition coach, and I always will be, even if I'm not working with clients. And I know that the hours that trainers put in, and I know the passion that they have, and nutrition coaches and so on. And my goal is to help you get people results better than you ever have before, but also help you to add in another business opportunity that helps you make the kind of income that I feel fitness professionals deserve. You can see my email address on there one more time, tom@hlweo, healthyliving with essential oils.com, and of course the website healthylivinghowto.com or healthylivingwithessentialoils.com. I really appreciate your time on the webinar. I would love to do this in person because it's way more powerful. I'd love to get the essential oils in your hands. So really consider ordering them as soon as possible. And I'd love to come out and work with you on the business side of things at some point. So I'd love to hear your feedback. You've got my contact information. I appreciate your time tonight on the call. And I hope that you have a very blessed weekend. Thanks, everybody.